Well, it's good to be saved.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, just try it. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse number, let's start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, who is he writing this epistle to? Us. Right? Haven't we obtained a precious faith through Jesus Christ? So this epistle is for Christians, right? It's a tough crowd. Okay, so verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How are we going to get grace and peace be multiplied to us? Brothers and sisters of Christ, this is Sunday school, so I'm going to be asking you questions for Sunday school so you could hopefully learn something, right? So how are we going to get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we get that knowledge? We read the Bible. All together now. Okay, that's how we get great. Is that what it says? That's how we get knowledge. All right, now watch this in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given us to all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So how many things have we got? All things, right? And what do these things pertain to that he gave us? So, is there any way that we can say we don't have any godliness in our life? No. Now, if we don't have godliness in our life, whose fault is that? It's ours, right? So we can complain and we can murmur and we can tell God this and we can tell God that, but all he has to do is bring us back to verse number 3 in 2 Peter chapter 1, and according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Which life are you supposed to live? The new life, right? The godly life. Now look at verse 4. Whereby, and we're looking at verses 1, 2, and 3, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and best precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a verse. According to what we read in 1, 2, and 3, the promises that God has already given us, because he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we can live a Christian life that pleases God and escapes the corruption that is in the world.
That's right.
And I'm going to preach a little this morning, I'll teach a little bit this morning about the promises of God. And right there is one of the great and precious promises of God, that I've given you everything you need to be successful.
Amen.
Now the question is, do you want to be successful? Everybody would raise their hand, right?
Yeah.
What does it take?
Knowledge of God.
Well, I'm going to chase the rabbit here for a minute. I'm going to take you to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse number 8. Now, your King James Bible has approximately 790,000 words in it, give or take a word or two. And there's only one time in the entire Bible that God tells you you can have success. And it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Here's what he says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Is that what it says? Amen. So that they may... I better go there. So that may do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, right? So what do we have to do to have good success? Read the Bible, think about the Bible, try to do what the Bible says. Right? All right, now that we've got that out of the way, let's look at these precious promises of God. Are you ready? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, you know if you've been here for a couple days that I'm going to use lots of scripture, so get your fingers ready. Give you some exercise this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 8. The first promise that God has given us is that he has given us a promise of a special kind of life. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So God has promised you this. If you'll try to live godly, I'll give you a good life here, and then I'll give you a good life there. I'll bless you here, and then I'll bless you there. Praise God for that. Amen. I used to have an amen sign, but I don't know. I gave it to somebody. Every once in a while, I hold up my amen sign just, you know, so people could say amen. It's okay to say amen, right?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Don't be shy. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to go down in order here. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to go down in order. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Do we have a promise of life in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Praise God, right? I mean, think about it. You were ungodly and unkept, and you got saved, and now you're godly and you're kept. That's so neat. Every day I am amazed how good God is.
That's right.
I mean... And I'm a bum. And he just loves me anyway. Now, sometimes he doesn't like me, right? How many here have ever had any children? Is there sometimes you don't like them? But you love them, right? And that's how God is, isn't he? The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But there are sometimes that God doesn't like me. He doesn't like what I do, doesn't like what I say, doesn't like what I think. But he loves me. He puts up with me. The Bible says, long suffering towards us.
That's right.
Praise God. All right, where'd we go? I know I went somewhere. Oh, we didn't go anywhere. Well, let's go to Titus then. Titus. And we're going to go to all the way down there to verse number 1 and scoot down to verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It's in the index under T. You can find it. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Well, praise God. God has promised us life, hasn't he? And I'm so glad. All right, what else has God promised us? That's a nice question, isn't it? All right, since we're so close, let's go to Psalm 46. That's in the index under P. You can find it. Watch out, the pastor's coming. Psalm 46. I'm driving in the motorhome about 4 years ago. I think I was going from Oregon to California, and I was frustrated. I was discouraged. There was trouble in my personal life. And I'm reading through the book of Psalms, and I just happened to come to Psalm 46, verse 1. God is a very, what does it say?
God is our refuge.
God is our refuge, a very present help in what? And I thought, what am I worrying about? If God is my refuge, a very present help in, well, in trouble, right? And that just, for some reason, that just completely calmed me down. I've had great days ever since. And every time something comes up, I remember Psalm 46, verse 1. Amen. A good one to have memorized, isn't it? Amen. God is our refuge, isn't he? A very present help in trouble. And sometimes we cause our own trouble. All right, so if God is a help, let's go to, well, since we're so close, let's go to Jude 24. Jude 24. That's right, he has a strange sense of humor. That's right. 10,000 comedians out of a job. Jude 24. God promised to help you. Well, look what it says here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Well, praise God. I need help sometimes, don't you? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, everybody's favorite book. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I know anybody that's been to Pensacola Bible Institute, you have this one memorized. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. What's it say? There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Who's faithful? And how is he faithful? I mean, think about this. You're going to get tempted in one of three ways. You're either going to have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life. All other temptations fall into one of those three categories. All right, who has a verse for lust of the eyes? Is this on? Do anybody here have trouble with lust of the eyes? Raise your hand. God knows who you are. Well, don't you have a verse? Listen, if you do like the Lord Jesus Christ and you quote verses to the devil, he will leave you alone. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the lust of the eyes. All right, what about lust of the flesh? It's a tough crowd, Pastor, tough crowd. Okay, how about this? Man does not live by
bread alone,
but by every word. Well, okay. All right, how about pride? Anybody here have trouble with pride? Hey, I'm proud to be humble. Anybody? Only by pride cometh destruction, but with a wall of pride. Right? Right?
Only by pride cometh contention.
That's it. Think about this for a second. If you were humble, you would never have an argument with anybody. Because it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter if you're right or they're right. Right? Only by pride cometh contention. Well, that's what the Bible says. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So I've given you three verses for lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Now, those might work. They work for me. Maybe you can figure out three that'll work for you. You're going to be tempted, but God has given you a way to escape the temptation. How did he do that? Well, he wrote a Bible. Right? I need an amen sign. I need an amen sign real bad. All right, so let's look at, let's try it just in case it works. Hebrews chapter 2. Just to prove men should make coffee. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at verse number 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Well, praise God, because there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But listen, Jesus Christ went through temptations, and he came safe on the other side, and you can too. Right? We should be careful, because the devil's going to tempt you. The world is going to tempt you. You're going to tempt you.
Right.
Because you have flesh. And the spirit and the flesh are always in a battle with one another. And whichever one you feed the most is going to win the battle.
That's right.
Right? So if you're more spiritual than you are carnal, you'll have a better, stronger Christian life. How can you be more spiritual? Anybody know how you can be more spiritual? Hey, this is a test, okay? I want you guys to get good grades. So how can you be more spiritual? Well, you could pray, right? You could read your Bible. You could try to pay attention to what you say, what you do, and what you think, right? Your flesh isn't going to like it. How many of you had breakfast this morning? How many of you read your Bible this morning? How many of you are going to have lunch this afternoon? How many of you are going to read your Bible this afternoon? How many of you are going to have supper? How many of you are going to read your Bible for supper? How many of you are going to snack during the day? How many of you are going to read Bible before you snack? Amen. It looks like you're feeding the flesh a lot, right? I can tell you the ideal way to read through your Bible every year. For breakfast, read a page of Bible. For lunch, read one page of Bible. For dinner, read one page of Bible. 3 pages a day. Most of you, if you did that consistently, you would get through the entire Bible in 1 year. Right? You know, we are Christians for the most part nowadays. We are in a diet from reading the Bible. We read the Bible on Sundays and Wednesdays. Whether we're supposed to or not, right? And it depends on the preaching. If the preacher uses a lot of verses, well, you definitely read the Bible, right? All right, what is today's date? Anybody know? It's the 4th. And every one of you read Proverbs chapter 4 today, right?
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
A proverb of doubt. I'm telling you, a proverb. All right, I'm sorry. All right, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. I will tell you this right now. I am trying to encourage you. I'm not trying to condemn you. But it's between you and God what you do in your Christian life. All I can do is try to show you some scriptures, encourage you to do what I found out is the best thing to do.
Amen.
I mean, maybe I'm fortunate because I got saved when I was 40 years old. And I had a lot of, what do you call that? Luggage, baggage behind me. 25 years of a drug addict, 25 years of an alcoholic. I pretty much burnt my brain out. But I memorize scripture, and thank God for that.
Amen.
And I'm amazed every single day that God would have anything to do with me.
Amen.
But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves me, and He wants me to be successful. He's given me a plan, and all I have to do is say, okay, God, I'll do it. Right? Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for him. Well, praise God. Right now, in glory, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to his Father, and he's saying, Father, help them.
Amen.
They're sitting in church today, and I want you to help them to understand what's being preached. I mean, that's the Lord. He wants the best for us, right? I mean, praise God for that. All right, what's the precious promises of God? We know we have a precious promise of life, a precious promise of help. Okay, everybody's favorite verse in the Bible, Philippians 4, verse 19. You know it, I know it, we all know it. What has God done? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? So, what need do you have? Well, it doesn't matter because God will supply that need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you need something that God don't have any riches for, well, you're not going to get it. Because what's it say in James? We pray and we don't get it answered. Why? Because we're going to consume it on our... I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but is that what it says?
Yeah.
Well, Lord, if I win the lotto, I'll give you half. You know that's not true. I mean, you had good intentions until you won the lotto, right? I mean, think about it. Does God give you all that you need? You know the thing that's unique about the need that we have? Almost never is it a want. People say, I need it. No, you don't need it. You want it.
Come on.
Right? What'd you buy that for? Oh, I don't know. I needed it. What? How many people ever heard this? You know, you could get this $19.95 for shipping and handling. And if you order today, we'll send you two. What is it? It's a cheese straightener. Does anybody in this room have an attic? Anybody here have an attic in their house? You have stuff up there in your attic? Do you know what it is? Anybody here have a garage? Does your car go in the garage? Or is it full of stuff? You know, we're the only country in America that has climate-controlled storage facilities, so your junk doesn't get rust. Anybody ever been to a garage sale and bought something you gave away? Praise God. All right, where did we go? I know we went somewhere. Oh, Ephesians chapter what? 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The need. Has God promised to meet your need?
Amen.
Well, sometimes He gives us what we need before we even ask. I'm in my first year of evangelistic traveling. I'm in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Glenn. And I was at the shopping mall, actually by myself. And I walked by one of those, what do they call those things in the middle of the aisle?
It's a
kiosk. I was wondering. And the lady was selling herbal products. And before I got saved, I was a fanatic about herbs. You know, because marijuana is an herb and it's okay. Well, anyway. So we were talking, and she said, well, what are you doing in Portland? I said, well, I'm preaching at the church. She said, really? I said, yeah, you ought to come. She said, well, when is the service? I said, well, I'm preaching Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She said, well, I'll try to come. So she came one night. And as she left, she handed me a check. Well, anytime someone hands me a check, I always put it in my pocket. I never look at it because I don't want to be shocked.
Yep.
Right? Sad or happy, either one. I look at it. So I opened it up later. For some reason, she gave me $125. I mean, and I've had that happen more than once. And I'm thinking to myself, God is so good. And it's not that I needed the money. It's just that for her, I guess it was a blessing for her. I never saw her again. And I don't know if she was saved or not. I hope she was saved, because then we could have reunited in heaven, right? So... all right, did we go somewhere? Ephesians chapter what? All right, let's look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he does that, doesn't he?
Right.
More than whatever we could ever imagine, God has blessed us. Far more than we ever deserve. And the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has waiting for us when we get to glory.
Right.
I mean, we think about it, we talk about it, we have no clue. I mean, just... and I sometimes think about the curse that's on this earth. And you guys live in an area where in the fall, it is like unbelievable, the colors in the forest. Unbelievable. And you just go, even though you've seen it, what, 50 times?
Yeah.
And you think, man, and this earth has a curse on it. What's it going to be like when he takes the curse off?
Amen.
I mean, you look outside after the first snow and everything is so white, it almost blinds your eyes. And the smell after a real good rain. I mean, you just... I've been to the Atlantic Ocean, I've been to the Pacific Ocean, I've been to the Gulf of Mexico, I've been from New York to California, Michigan to Florida, all over the United States, and I'm amazed every single time I travel of what I see. I mean, it's just, even the deserts in Arizona, it's just beautiful. The colored rock. I mean, you could look forever and ever and ever and see nothing but flat. But praise God. He's so good. He's so good to us. Matthew chapter 6. I do know about global warming, though, because one of these days God's going to let the sun shine 7 times brighter than it's ever shined before.
That's right.
And you think 102 is hot. Wait till that day. Think about this. He's going to scorch men, scorch them. Anybody here ever touch a hot iron? That's scorching. I'm glad that I get raptured out of here before the tribulation.
Amen.
I mean, praise God. I mean, there. I know there's people that teach, but no, I'm not going to go for that. I'm going for out of here. Right? Let's practice. Practice the jump, right? All right, where do we go? We know we went somewhere. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know what God did? God's got all that covered.
Amen.
All right, last but not least, no clapping in the back. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 again. God promised you that he'd give you life, that he'd give you help, that he'd meet your need. And I think one of the things that I like the best is God promised that he'd give me comfort.
Amen.
Because I'm in a world now where comfort is... well, something I should have each and every day. I can't believe what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I was raised in the 60s. And now the people that I was raised with are in charge. That is scary. Because they were radical in the 60s, and they're more radical now, right? Global warming. Yeah, there's going to be a global warming, all right. Now, you guys are kind of affected about the climate people up here, aren't you? I mean, you can't cut down trees, and you can't shoot animals, and you can't... Well, all right, Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a comfort. Because it does pass us all understanding, doesn't it? The peace of God.
Amen.
My wife got sick March 1st, or around March 1st. And she was in the hospital pretty much all that month. She was in a hospital in Chanute, and they transferred her because of her heart arrhythmias. They transferred her to Wichita, which was 2 hours away. So I would drive over there every day and stay with her for a while and come back. And she had a cancer, and they don't know what kind. They never did discover what kind, but she had a growth on her lung. She had a growth on one of her glands, and she had a growth on the bottom of her stomach. So they tried to give her chemo one time, and she got sick, and she told the doctor, "No more. I'm already sick. I don't want to be sicker. I don't want any pills. I don't want..." So they put DNR on her chart. So I took her from Wichita back to Chanute, because, well, she was just laying in bed. They gave her pain medication, you know, and I could do that at home. And I didn't realize at the time that she couldn't even put herself in a wheelchair. But me not thinking, I think it was the Lord anyway, when I think about it now. So I drove her 2 hours to the house, and I got out of the house, and I went in and got the walker. They had two people had to put her in a wheelchair at the hospital. So I don't know, I guess the Lord just made me dumb for about 3 hours. So I said, "Come on, Andy, it's time to go in the house." She opened her eyes and looked at me, and I thought, well, I can't lift her. So I took her to the ER, and I told the doctor, I said, "Listen," I said, "she's not responding." So he said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to have to get some tests, because she's got a fever of 104. So I said, "Well, I know she doesn't want any, but go ahead, give her a blood test." So they found out that she had an infection, so they gave her some antibiotics, and everything cleared up, and she kind of came back to reality. And she said, "Am I in Wichita?" I said, "No, you're in Chanute now." So the doctor says, "Well, you can take her home if you want." And I said, "What am I going to do with her at home? I can't even get her out of..." He said, "Well, we'll just admit her to the hospital, and we'll just monitor her vital signs, and because, well, she's dying." So she was there for about a week, and then Friday night, she had been unresponsive for probably 3 days, and the nurse came in and she said, "You know, the last thing that goes is the hearing." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." So I was about to leave, and I leaned over and I whispered in her ear, and I said, "Annie, I love you. I'm praying God will take you home." I went home Friday night. They called me about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they said she passed away. And this verse right here, "Peace that passeth all understanding," I was absolutely, I was sad, but I was absolutely relieved. No pain, no sorrow. She's jumping for joy. She's in heaven with her Savior. Praise God, praise God, praise God, right?
Amen.
And what does the Lord do? He gives us comfort when we need it.
Amen.
Doesn't he? And I was telling somebody the other day, I'm in a Denver airport, right? And I'm watching people walk by, and men and women, they're holding hands. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, well, I can't hold hands with Annie anymore. I mean, what a thing to think about, right? But the Lord still gives me comfort, you know. And I know for sure that one of these days I get to see her.
Amen.
Right? And she's with friends that we've had throughout the years that have went to heaven. She gets to see them and some of her family members. So praise God. All right, let's go to... Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The covered of God. Matthew 11, verse 28. We all know this verse. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. What a verse. I mean, think about this. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in this room is going through something. But you take it to the Lord, He'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's never too small for God to comfort you with, and it's never too big for God to help you with. Amen. He's a great and mighty God. The littlest things are important to Him. He knows the hair on your head. And even though you brushed it this morning, He could still tell you how many hairs you have on your head and don't have to look at the brush. Right? All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, since you thought it was safe. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 22. Galatians 3, verse 22. Galatians 3, verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What a thing. Even though we're sinners, right? Isn't it true that God commended His love towards us, even though, right?
That's right.
I mean, think about it. Any sinners in the room? Who's the worst one? Well, raise your hand. Because you're the worst one in your life. Right? Now, is there someone worse than you? Well, what difference does it make? If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what's the worst sin you could have? Well, pick one. Because according to the Bible, if you're guilty in one, you're guilty in all of them.
Amen.
I mean, think about that. If I was to ask you right now, write down the Ten Commandments, could you do it? Well, think about that for a second. God wrote them with His own finger. It must have been important. And He only gave you 10. Yeah. All right, in conclusion, no clapping please, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 will stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having these promises, Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We do have promises, don't we? A promises of life, a promises of our needs being met, a promise of us being helped, a promise of us being comforted. And having these precious promises, we should cleanse ourselves, shouldn't we? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the verses that You've given us about the help of God, the precious, exceeding precious promises of God. Lord, help us stand on those promises. And Lord, if it's necessary, let us remind You of the promises and have You remind us of the promises that You've given us. And I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, take a break.